Shelter。 晚上才知音服务袁玉玲，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是6月23日，星期日。我们今天呢，又非常荣幸的邀请到了我们敬爱的阿叔 Krishna Balade 法务，为我们继续讲述今天的圣殿波迦瓦坦的早课。敬请聆听 Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is the second canto, chapter 7.Schedule incarnations with specific functions. Today, text number 6.
我们今天继续阅读《圣殿波迦瓦坛》第二篇第七章，起特殊作用的化身。今天要阅读的诗节是第七诗节。
Dharmasya,
Dharmasya,
Daksha,
Daksha,
Duhitari,
Duhitari.Sorry, is that chapter 7?
Chapter 7, text number 6.
Oh, sorry. 第六十节，第六十节，第六十节。
Okay. Ajanishta.
Ajanishta.
Murtyam.
Murtyam.
Dharmasya Daksha Duvitari Ajanishta Murtyam.
Dharmasya Daksha Duvitari Avyashta Murtyam
Narayana
Narayana
Nara
Nara
Iti
Iti
Svatapaha
Svatapaha
Prabhava
Prabhava
Narayano Nara Iti Svatapaha Prabhava
Narayano Nara Iti Svatapaha Prabhava
Drishtva
Drishtva
Atmana
Atmana
Bhagavata
Bhagavata
Niyama Avalopam
Niyama Avalopam
Drishtvatmano Bhagavato Niyama Avalopam
Drishtvatmano Bhagavato Niyama Avalopam
Devya,
Devya,
Tu,
Tu,
Ananga Prittanaha,
Ananga Prittanaha,
Gatitum,
Gatitum,
Na,
Na,
Seku,
Seku,
Devyastu Ananga Prittana, Gatitum, Na Seku,
Devyastu Ananga Prittana, Gatitum, Na Seku,
Dharmasya Daksha Duitarya Janishta Murtyam
Dharmasya Daksha Duitarya Janishta Murtyam
Narayano Narayiti Svatapa Prabhava
Narayano Narayiti Svatapa Prabhava
Drishtvatmano Bhagavato Niyama Valopam
Drishtvatmano Bhagavato Niyama Valopam
Devyastu Ananga Prittana Gatitum Na Shekum
Devyastu Ananga Prittana Gatitum Na Shekum
Okay, word for word. Dharmasya
Dharmasya Dharma, 宗教原则的控制者。
Daksha
Daksha 生物的祖先 Daksha 他家之一
Duhitari
Duhitari 对女儿
Ajanishta
Ajanishta 诞生
Murtyam
Murtyam 名为 Murti 的
Narayana
Narayana Narayana
Nara
Nara Nara
Svatapaha iti
iti 因此
Svatapaha
Svatapaha 个人的苦修
Prabhava
Prabhava 力量
Drishtva.
Drishtva, 看见。
Atmanaha.
Manaha, 他自己的。
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata, 人格守神的。
Niyama Avalopam.
Niyama Avalopam, 伪的。
Devya.
Devya, 天国的美女。
To.
To, 但是。
Ananga Prithanaha.
Ananga Prithanaha, 丘比特爱神的伴侣。
Gatitum,
Gatitum, 要发生。
Na,
Na, 永不。
Sheku,
Sheku, 成为可能的。
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由 Srila Prabhupada 提供。译文。至尊主为了展示他个人的苦修方法，以 Narayana 和 Narada 对孪生子的形象显现在 Daksha 的女儿 Dharma 的妻子 Mukti 的子宫中。丘比特的那些国色天香的女伴们企图令人格守神打破他的誓言，但没有成功，因为他们看到从他体内涌出很多跟他们一样美的美人。要旨，至尊主作为万事万物的源泉，当然也是所有苦修生活的起源。圣人们许下苦修 Tapasya 的誓言，以期能够在觉悟自我的途上获得成功。人生是为了让人从事遵守独身禁欲的生活 Brahmacharya这一非凡誓言的苦修的。在刻苦修行的严格生活中，没有与女人交往的余地。由于人生的目的是为了刻苦修行觉悟自我，因此以人类四社会阶层和灵性四社会阶段制度而构成的真正的人类文明 Sanantana Dharma 严格规定，在人生的三个阶段中要与女人分开。人在逐渐提升文明程度的过程中，一生分为四个阶段，他们分别是独生禁欲的学生生活、居士生活、退休生活和出家生活。在人生的第一个阶段，直到25岁，人应该在一位真正的灵性导师指引下受训，当 Brahmachari 真守生，以便明白女性是物质存在中真正的束缚力。要摆脱受限制的物质生活的束缚，它就必须不受女人形体的吸引。女性是生物体着迷的根源，男性尤其是人类中的男性一生的目的就是为了要觉悟自我。整个世界都在女性吸引力的迷惑下运作，男子一旦与女子结合，便被紧紧地绑住，成为物质束缚的牺牲品。尤其是刚刚与女人结合后，男人在错误的支配感的迷惑下，立即产生了主宰物质世界的欲望，想要购置房子，拥有土地，生儿育女，并在社会上出人头地。对团体和出生的眷恋，以及对钱财的渴望等等，都犹如变化无常的幻象或虚幻的梦境，妨碍着一个人，使他在觉悟自我的过程中饱受困扰，因而自我觉悟才是人生真正的目标。因此男孩子从5岁开始就要接受 Brahmachari 的训练，尤其父母是知识分子 Brahmana婆罗门、行政岗长官、Kshatriya、刹帝利、商人或农人、Vaishya、飞蛇的男孩，都应该在真正的灵性导师照管下接受训练，直到25岁。就这样，经过遵守纪律的严格训练，他一边了解人生的价值，一边学习谋生的各种本领。随后 Brahmachari 得到了允许返回家中过居士的生活，娶一位合适的女子。但有许多 Brahmachari 不回家当居士，而是继续过不与女性接触的独身禁欲的 Brahmachari 的生活。 Naishtika Brahmacharis. 他们深知与女性结合会造成不必要的负担，结果将妨碍觉悟自我，于是直接从 Brahmachari 进入了生命的气绝阶段，当了 Sannyasi 出家人。由于人的一生在某个阶段性的欲望呢是特别的强烈，而真正的灵性导师对每一个人的情况了如指掌，所以会特别允许那些无法始终过独身禁欲的 Brahmachari 生活的人结婚。结婚后就需要有所谓的家庭计划。经典规定，受过 Brahmachari 训练的人，在与女人结婚成为居士后，不能够像猫狗一样过居士生活。受过训练的居士，在50岁以后，会从与女性的关系中退出来，当 Vanapasta 接受训练，在不与女人接触的情况下独自生活。完成训练后，这位退出家庭生活的居士就可以成为 Sannyasi， 完全与女人分开，甚至包括自己的妻子。研究这一整套与女人分开的制度，女人看起来像是觉悟自我之途上的绊脚石，而至尊主也曾化身为Narayana 显现，教导发誓一生不与女性接触的生活原则。半神人嫉妒严格的 Brahmachari 苦修的生活，曾派丘比特的士兵去设法使 Brahmachari 打破誓言，但是在至尊主化身为 Narayana 的时候，半神人的努力却失败了。当时天堂美女们看到至尊主可以用他神秘的内在力量创造出无数的美女，因此根本不会受外界其他人的吸引。常言道，生产糖果糕点的人从不会受甜品的吸引，一天到晚忙着制作糖果糕点的人很少想去吃它们。同样的道理，至尊主用他的快乐能量可以创造出无数的灵性美女，因此根本就不会受物质创造中的假美女的吸引。不了解真相的人愚蠢的信口雌黄地说，主 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的Rasa Lila 娱乐活动中与女性发生了性关系，在 Dwarka 期间娶了16000位妻子，并与他们发生了性关系。译文：至尊主为了展示他个人的苦修方法，你以 Narayana 和 Narada 这对孪生子的形象展现在 Daksha 的女儿、 Dharma 的妻子、 Mukti 的子宫里。丘比特那些国色天香的女伴们企图令人守神打破他的誓言，但没有成功，因为他们看到从他体内涌出很多跟他们一样美的美人。
Samajana Timiram Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunnavade Pashatade Shatarine Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakaupa Taru Vyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Lord Brahma is describing a little bit about the incarnation of the Lord as the twins Narayana and Nara.
那么在这里面呢，主 Brahma 他就描述了一点儿关于双胞胎的这个化身，Narayana 和 Nara
You sound a little far.
I'm not sure. I hear some noise there. I don't know what is that.
I don't know. Okay, so he came in these twin forms in order to teach us how to perform, how to undergo vows, male and female, so they engage in sense enjoyment.
所以呢, 他们唯一有的事情呢, 就是, 处在对异性的彼此的吸引之中, 那这样的话呢, 他们也就很自然地会去从事这些, 感官的享乐的活动。
But for human beings, this has to be done very carefully.
但是作为人来说呢, 这些就要非常的小心地去做了。
Because there is really a very strong attraction between male and female, because this is the basic principle of material existence.
因为呢, 我们的物质存在的基本的原则, 就是异性之间的相互的吸引, 所以说呢, 男人跟女人之间有一个非常天然的吸引。
So if that attraction becomes very strong, then naturally we feel more identified with our bodies and become more attracted to our bodies because we see our bodies as the object of happiness.
所以说呢, 当我们就是被这样的这种性的这种吸引完全的沉醉在其中的时候呢, 那么我们就会越加的去认同于我们自己的这个躯体, 因为我们会发现就是这个躯体, 它实际上是感官享乐的对象。
And then naturally, if you want to have a legal connection, a proper connection, then there is marriage. So if there is marriage, means we need a home.
那所以当我们有了一点这种连接之后呢, 我们也就意味着是要结婚, 那结婚也就意味着需要有一个家。
We need to have money.
需要有钱,需要财富。
And then we want to have children.
然后我们又想要孩子了。
And then there is relatives from one side, from another side.
然后呢,这个男女双方呢,都会有自己的亲属。
And we start thinking that this is real life.
然后我们就开始觉得,这就是真正的生活。
Working hard to maintain this setup, this is the purpose of life.
努力的工作,然后呢,安排所有的这些一切,这就是我们生活的目标。
But the result of this type of life is that we increase the illusion of thinking that we are this body and things connected with this body are mine.
但是呢,就是这样的生活呢, 它就会让我们更加的处在我们的这个虚幻的幻境之中, 也就是我们越来会认为我们是这个躯体,以及呢,和这些躯体相关联的这些事情呢,都是我的。
So we remain stuck in material existence.
这样就会让我们就一直的留在我们的这个物质的束缚之中。
And if you fall prey in unrestricted sense enjoyment, we lose even the opportunity to maintain the human form of life.
对，如果我们要是不断的恣意的去进行我们的感官享乐的话，那是我们就甚至会失去我们的人类的身体的这种形式。
So 5 to 25, there is training and celibacy, how to stay away from the opposite sex, stay away from that attraction that is very strong in material existence.
所以说呢,这个5岁到25岁之间这段时间呢,就需要进行一些训练。这个训练呢,是让自己处在一种这个真守的这个状态,然后呢,去远离 异性的非常的强烈的这种吸引。
So in a proper society, from 5 to 25 there is physically practically no contact with the opposite sex.
所以说呢,从一个大当的社会来说呢, 5岁到25岁这段时间, 就是这个异性之间是完全不应该有任何的接触的。
So this is 20 years of training.
应该是有20年的训练。
So after 25, a boy that is very well trained in this system, he most probably will not even feel any attraction to get involved in marriage, to have a wife.
那经过20年的这样的训练之后呢，使得就是有些男孩甚至于他就根本就没有任何的想要去结婚的这个想法了，他就不会被女人所吸引。
So he can go on and take sannyas and be totally disconnected with the opposite sex, so he does not have any inclination for material sense enjoyment.
所以说呢，他就可以继续让自己再成为这个sannyasi，然后呢，继续的过着远离和这个异性在一起的这种生活，然后呢，他也完全没有要被这个异性所吸引的这种倾向。
And this is ideal.
那这是理想的状态。
This is ideal, and this is what Srila Prabhupada used to say. Boys, they should remain brahmacharis.
那么这是一种理想的状态，也就是Srila Prabhupada经常以前就会说呢，就是男孩们都应该始终处于 brahmachari 真守生的状态。But
then he said, but the girls, they should get married.
但是女孩们呢，就应该结婚。And
then everybody looking at Srila Prabhupada very perplexed, and Prabhupada said, you manage.
然后呢，就是所有的人听完Srila Prabhupada这么一说了以后呢，都特别的困惑，但他就特别的。 困惑地看着Srila Prabhupada，Srila Prabhupada就说：“你们自己去处理这个问题。”
If the boys are going to remain brahmacharis, who is going to marry with the girls?
那如果要是男孩都是始终处在 brahmachari 的这种状态下的话，那女孩跟谁结婚呢？
So we are practically the only spiritual organization where men and women are given the same opportunity for self-realization to achieve the goal of life.
那我们所在的这个团体呢，可能是唯一的一个男女都能够得到平等的去获得自我觉悟的机会的这个团体。In
the other spiritual schools, they may have women, but they are totally separated from the men.
那么在其他的灵性的传承中呢，也许可能在这个修行的这个团体里面也有女子，但是女子跟男人呢是完全的分开的。
In our society, there is mixing.
但是在我们的这个社团里面呢，男人跟女人是混在一起的。
But if the mixing is done without any regulation, without any austerity, then it can also become very dangerous, and we have seen this.
但是如果要是在没有任何的制度规范。 还有没有任何的苦行的状态下去让男人跟女人混在一起的话呢，那也会有很多的问题的出现，而且我们已经看到了有问题的出现。So
if the boys have proper and this proper training, so they can resist the attraction.
所以如果是男孩他要是有了恰当的训练的话呢，他就可以屏蔽掉异性对他的吸引。
And even if at the age of 25 there is still some attraction in their hearts, then under the permission of the guru, they can become married.
那么，就即便是这些25岁受完训的这些 brahmachari， 如果在他内心中依然对女子有这个吸引的话呢，那他可以在他的 guru 的允许之下和女人结婚。
And this is what's happening. Many young men get married.
那这也就是发生的事情，就很多年轻的小伙子们都结婚了。But
they should keep that principle of celibacy in their hearts.
但是呢，他们要在内心中始终保留着真守的原则。They
should learn. They should act with the opposite sex, with their wives. Always with this understanding that they should not freely mix to the point of doing illicit things.
那他呢就应该明白，他应该和他的这个妻子不能够随意的在一起进行性生活。This
is not easy to do.
那么这个并不是一件容易的事情。
Because by nature, women are compared to fire.
因为从这个性质上来说呢，本性上来说呢，女子被比作成是黄油。
And man is
被比作成是火。
And man is compared to butter.
男人被比喻成是黄油。
So if you put butter next to fire.
那如果你要是把这个黄油给放在火边上的话呢？
Then butter melts.
那这个黄油呢就化掉了。
So we have to manage.How to keep these two things together without having this melting?
那所以说我们就得处理好，怎么能够让火跟黄油在一块儿，然后呢，黄油还不会被火给弄化了。
So we put the butter in the fridge.
所以我们就把这黄油给放到冰箱里边。
In this way, it does not melt.
这个放到冰箱里以后呢，这个黄油就化不了了。
No, we have to follow our tapasya, our austerities.
不是这样的，我们其实呢是需要去进行我们的 tapasya 苦修。
In order to cultivate celibacy, even in marriage life, even in mixing with sex.
所以这样的话呢，使得我们即便是在我们的婚姻生活中，即便是在这种就是男女双方混合在一起的生活中呢，也能够在内心之中始终保持着真守。
And our austerities are different from what the jnanis and the yogis perform.
但是我们的这个苦行呢，和这个思辨家 jnani 还有瑜伽师 yogis 他们所进行的苦修是不一样的。
Yes, we follow.Like jnanis and yogis, we follow regulative principles, things that we have to give up.
当然了，我们也和 jnanis 和 yogis 一样，我们呢是要去遵守我们的这个规范性的这种生活，我们也必须要去放弃那些我们必须要放弃的东西。
But we have something unique, is that we can learn and we can engage our senses in the service of the Lord.
但是呢，我们有一个特别独特的地方，就是我们可以学着把我们的感官处于对主的服务之中。
So if we always engage our senses to satisfy the senses of the Lord, then there is very little risk of falling prey to that tendency for sense enjoyment.
那所以说呢，如果我们要是始终把我们的感官给处在对主的这个服务中的话，那我们就减少了很大的这种让我们的感官去进行感官享乐的活动的这种危险。
So our practice is to be always engaging our senses in some activity of devotion.
那所以说呢，我们的这个修行呢，就是总是要让我们的这个感官去从事于奉爱的活动。
Always. Otherwise, the attraction for the object of the senses will manifest eventually. Is inevitable.
那么，所以呢，我们要始终都要这么做，否则的话呢，我们的这个感官它就会不可避免的会被这个感官享乐的活动所吸引。
So in marriage life, the husband should see the wife as a servant of the Lord.
所以说在我们的婚姻中呢，丈夫他应该把妻子看成是主的一位仆人。
A servant of the Lord is meant to satisfy the Lord.
那么一位主的仆人也就意味着是要去满足主，让主满意。
That's how it should be seen. Is a servant of the Lord, is a devotee of the Lord, is meant for service to the Lord.
那所以这就是我们所应该具有的事欲，也就是说呢，他是主的一位仆人，他应该是为了做让这个主开心的这个活动。
It's not meant for anyone else's pleasure.
那么所以呢，他并不是为了任何其他的人的这个享乐而存在的。
It's a servant of the Lord. If you see each other as servants of the Lord, meant to be engaged in the service of the Lord, then we will not try to exploit that particular person for our sense enjoyment because you know it's not proper.
那么双方呢都应该把彼此看成是主的仆人。那么这样的话呢，我们就不会把彼此看成是我们要去满足我们自己的感官享乐的需要的这么一个人了，因为我们知道这是不恰当的。
So we had, this is a primary, absolutely importance that we always engage our senses in some activity of devotion for the pleasure of the Lord.
对呢，就是这对于我们来说非常非常重要的一件事情，就是我们总是以某种形式让我们的感官处在对主的服务之中，然后呢去取悦主。
The yogis and jnanis, they restrain their senses from any activity in order to not be victimized. We don't need to stop the activities of the senses, but we have to engage the senses in serving Krishna, in engaging in the service of Krishna's senses.
那这个 yogis, 瑜伽师们还有这些思辨家们呢，他们其实是会禁止自己去从事很多感官上的活动的，从而使自己不成为这个感官享乐的受害者。但是作为我们来讲呢，我们是不需要停止自己的感官上的活动，而只是要去从事让主的感官满意的这些活动。
Like our sense, our tongue, the tongue is, we say in a prayer, Sarira Vidajal, of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the tongue is the most difficult sense to control.
比如说我们在念诵 Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur 所给我们的这个 Sarira Vidajal 的这个导文的时候呢，我们就知道这个导文里面讲的意思就是舌头是最难控制的感官。
And the only way to control the tongue is by supplying Krishna prasadam to the tongue.
那么唯一的去控制我们的这个舌头的方式就是给舌头去品尝供奉给 Krishna 的 prasadam.
We have to eat, it's inevitable, we have to eat. But we should eat only Krishna prasadam.
那我们呢必须得吃东西，因为这是不可避免的。所以说我们就只吃供奉给 Krishna 的 prasadam.
Krishna prasadam is food that is cooked, prepared by devotees and offered to the Lord by devotees. That what is Krishna prasadam.
那么 Krishna 的这个 prasadam 呢，是由Krishna 的奉献者所烹制的，并且把它供奉给主 Krishna 的，所以这就成为了 prasadam.
Food cooked by non-devotees cannot be offered to the Lord.
由非奉献者所烹制的食物呢是不能够供奉给主的。
So it's not prasadam.
那样的话就不是 prasadam.
It may be vegetarian food, but it's not prasadam.
那么也许它可能是素食的食物，但它并不是 prasadam.
So if it's not prasadam, it does not really help much in controlling our tongue.
但是呢，如果要是不是 prasadam 的话呢，它就没有办法帮助我们去控制我们的舌头。
If our tongue is not controlled,
如果我们要是我们的舌头没有被控制
，then it's difficult to control our stomach also.
那么也就很难去控制我们的胃。
We may eat more than necessary.
也就变成我们会吃的过多。
Overburden our stomach.
那我们吃的过多以后呢，我们就会给我们的这个胃造成负担。
Or eating the wrong food.
然后或者我们会吃不对的食物。
And the result is it creates a pressure in the sex organs and you become agitated.
那么当我们吃的够多了以后呢，这样就会给我们的这个生殖器呢造成更大的这种压力，而从而使我们就会在一种。这种焦虑的一种状态。
Because these are in a straight line, the tongue, the stomach, and genitals are in a straight line.
因为呢，舌头、肚腹还有我们的生殖器是处在一条线上的。
So the tongue is the most important sense to be controlled.
所以说，舌头呢是最重要的需要去控制的感官。
We may think, oh, why is the most important?
那我们可能会想，为什么是最重要的呢
？Yeah, it's so easy.
太容易了。
Yeah, it's easy if you really follow the process of only eating Krishna prasadam.
那么，如果我们要是真的去遵循这个只是吃 Krishna 的 prasadam 的这个程序的话呢，那的确是很容易。
We may control all other senses, but if you don't control the tongue.It's the same as not being in control of the senses.
那么如果我们虽然控制了其他的那些感官， 但是如果我们要是没有控制我们的舌头，控制不住我们的舌头的话，那么其实呢，就跟其他的感官也都没有控制住是一样的。
We will fall victimized by Maya.
因为我们就会变成 Maya 的这个牺牲品。
On the other side, if we control the tongue, it's almost the same as controlling all other senses.
但是如果另外一种方式，就是我们像控制其他那些感官一样去控制我们的舌头。
This is to say how important it is to control the tongue.
Sorry, actually, I think maybe there was one sentence I didn't hear.
Now, this is to say how important it is to control the tongue.
Okay, 那么这也就是说呢，这个控制舌头是多么重要。
It seems like a little thing, but it's extremely important.
看起来好像是一件小事，但其实是非常重要的。
Eat only Krishna prasadam.
因为只吃 Krishna 的 prasadam。
I think I told you more than once a story of one professor who traveled all over the world and participated in many conferences, and then, of course, after those conferences, they all have a buffet and they eat, and there's a table with food. And of course, being a devotee, he used to take only vegetarian food.
So the professor himself is a devotee, right?
Yeah, devotee.
对，那我想我给大家已经讲了好多遍这个故事了，就是有一位奉献者的教授。那么这位教授呢，他就会去做很多很多的旅行，然后讲学。那么在他开完这些会以后呢，他就会和大家一起吃饭。那么吃饭呢，可能就是一个自助餐呢。那么作为一个奉献者呢，他也很自然的会吃素餐。
So he may do some mental offering, whatever, and eat just that vegetarian food.
然后呢，他就会无意中去给这个素餐供奉。
So, and he was doing this for many years.
那么他呢，就很多年都在做这个事情。
And every year he used to meet his guru in Vrindavan and stay with his guru for a few days.
那每年呢，他都会在文达文见到他的 guru， 并且呢和他的 guru 待上几天。
And after some time, he started noticing that his japa was not very attentively, his chanting was not very focused.
那么过了一段时间以后呢，他就发现他的念诵不专心了。
So.He decided to ask his guru what he can do to be more focused in his japa.
所以呢，他就开始去问他的 guru， 他到底应该怎么办，怎么才能让他更加的专注他的念诵。
And his guru, he said something very interesting.
然后 guru 呢，就讲了一些很有意思的事儿。
He said, "Don't eat food cooked by non-devotees."
他说呢，不要吃由非奉献者做的食物。
That professor, that devotee, could not relate.That answer to his question, he could not see how this was related to this lack of focus on his job, less of attentiveness in his job. I could not relate.
然后呢，就是这位这个教授的这位奉献者呢，他就没有办法把 guru 跟他说的这个答案，就是吃非奉献者所烹制的这个食物和他不能够专注的念诵这两件事给连在一起，他觉得这两事没关系。
But he didn't say anything.
但是他当时什么也没说。
But he decided that from that point, he was not going to eat the food that they used to present during these conferences while he was traveling.
但是呢，就在那一刻呢，他就做出了一个决定，就不再会去碰那些，他之前在旅行中所吃的那些素食了。
So he decided that you would carry some nuts and dry fruits and.Things that would be easier to preserve would carry with him while he was traveling.
那么所以说呢，他就开始在他的旅行过程中呢，他就会带一些干果，然后带一些就是比较好收藏的这些，就是好管理的这些食物。
Nuts and dry fruits.
就比如说是这个干果，还有就是晒的果干。
And during the meals and his travelings after those conferences, he used to eat only the fresh fruits that were exposed in the table.
然后呢，在他这个开完会以后呢，他就经常只是吃 在这个桌子上的鲜的水果。
So okay, he was not eating as fulfilling as before, but he was eating fruits and nuts and dry fruits, and he stopped eating any food cooked by non-devotees.
当然呢，他现在这会儿呢不如以前吃的那么饱了，但是呢，他现在就开始只是吃干果、果干还有水果，所以说呢，他就停止了吃由非奉献者所烹制的食物。
So after a short time, he started noticing that his japa was more focused.
那么就在一段很短的一段时间之后呢，他就发现他的这个念诵呢就更加的专注了。
It was really related.
所以呢，就发现这两件事呢确实是连在一起的。
Just to see, just a little example. This is a true story. A little example to show how powerful is this control of the tongue by eating only Krishna Prasad. How powerful it is.
那这是一个真实的故事，只是给大家呢一个小的例子，就是这个把我们的舌头给控制住以后呢，它将会产生多么大的力量。
And how dangerous it is if you don't control, if you don't do this.
但而且呢，如果我们要是不这么做，我们要不去控制的话呢，又是会多么的危险。
The tongue also has the tendency to vibrate sounds.
因为我们的这个舌头呢，它还有一个倾向，就是去发出音震。
So we have to be also very careful to not just speak anything and everything.
那所以说呢，当我们在说话的时候呢，我们要非常的小心，不要乱说。
If you want to talk about something related to Krishna, related to devotion service, related to devotees.
那如果我们要是想要讲话的话，我们就最好讲一些跟 Krishna 相关、跟奉献服务相关、跟奉献者相关的话题。
We may sometimes have to be involved in talks in our professional work. We have to be involved in talks that are not really related to Krishna, but we just do as much as is needed for to have our job done.
那也许可能在我们的这个工作中呢，我们需要去进行谈论一些和 Krishna 不相关的一些话题，但是呢，我们要小心，就是我们在谈论这些话题的时候呢，要尽量的在我们的工作范围内去谈，然后工作一结束以后呢，立刻就把嘴闭上了。
But as far as possible, as much as possible, we should talk about Krishna, things related to Krishna.
但是呢，我们要尽可能的，尽可能多的去谈论和 Krishna 相关的话题。
Otherwise, we also become victimized by Maya.
否则的话呢，我们也会这个成为 Maya 的牺牲品。
Like the frogs are always croaking, always making a lot of noise, particularly in the evening.
比如说像这些青蛙们，它呢就老是在那儿这个叫，而且特别是在晚上就会发出一些噪音。
They can make a terrible noise.
他们这噪音呢可可怕了。
They think they are talking. They think they are saying. They're talking. They're talking all night.
他们就觉得他们是在聊天，他们一整晚都在聊天。
But the result is that they are attracting the snakes to come and swallow them.
但事实上，他们得到了什么呢？他们得到的是吸引了蛇，然后蛇呢就来把他们一口吞下了。
So we have to be careful. We don't talk nonsense, and then the snake of Mayus will come and swallow us.
那所以呢，我们一定要这个非常的小心，不要一直没完没了、没完没了的讲话，因为这样的讲话呢，就会让玛雅之蛇来把我们给吞掉。
So the bottom line is that we have to be always engaging our senses in the service of Krishna's senses, beginning with our tongue.
那所以说呢，我们要做的最基本的事情呢，就是从舌头开始做起，把我们的这个感官呢，总是致力在对 Krishna 的服务之中。
And this is our tapasya. This is our austerity.
那么这个呢，就是我们需要去进行的 tapasya， 我们需要去进行的苦修。
So this incarnation of the Lord, twin incarnation of the Lord, as Nara and Narayana appear many a long, long time before in the beginning of creation.
那所以说呢，就是主的这对双胞胎的这个化身呢 ，Narayana Yana Rishi。他是在我们的这个创造之前很长时间。
So in those days, the yoga process was more prevalent.
那么这个瑜伽的这个程序呢，更加的盛行。
So naturally, its austerities were very, 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 its penances were very, very severe.
那当然了，就是他们的这个要进行的这个苦修呢，要更加的严酷。
So they had absolutely no connection with the opposite sex.
那所以他们呢是完全的和这个异性没有任何的交往的。
The demigods, they particularly Lord Indra became very very afraid of seeing the austerities of these two twins, and because if they perform great austerities, they may be qualified to take the post of Indra. So Indra, he was afraid of losing his post.
那么这些半神人们，特别是这个天帝 Indra 呢，就特别的担心，因为这双胞胎兄弟他们所做的这个严酷的苦修呢，其结果呢就会让他们产生无比的这个威力，然后从而呢就有可能会取代 Indra 的这个位置，所以 Indra 就特别害怕他的这个位置没了。
So he tried to send Cupid to try to allure the twins Narayana and Nararishis to become attracted to sex life.
那所以呢，他就开始就派这个丘比特，然后呢去派这个美女去诱惑Narayana和Nararishi， 然后呢让他们就是被这个女子所吸引之后呢，就不能够再做他们这个苦修了。
So, Cupid manifests very beautiful, very beautiful, very beautiful, attractive girls.
所以呢，这个丘比特呢，他就展现了非常非常美的女子们。
So these girls, they went there to the hermitage of Narayana Rishis in order to try to allure them for sense enjoyment.
所以这些姑娘们呢，就去来到了这个 Narayana 和 Narayana Rishi 的这个面前。然后呢，是为了要想吸引他们和他们来进行这个娱乐。
But Narayana Rishis were totally unmoved by their lusty movements and their attractions.
那么这个 Narayana 和 Narayana Rishi 呢，就完全不被这些女孩们的这些充满了色欲的这些动作和勾引所吸引。
And from themselves, they manifest beautiful spiritual girls from the spiritual world, much more beautiful than the beautiful girls manifested by Cupid.
然后他们自己呢，就又展现出了很多来自灵性世界的这些美丽的女子们。那么这些从灵性世界来的美丽姑娘们呢，要远远的美过由丘比特所展现的这些美丽女子。
Because they thought that Narayana Rishis are just two Rishis, two great sages performing austerities. They didn't know that Narayana is the Supreme Lord.
因为他们觉得这个 Narayana 和 Narayana Rishi 他们两个人呢，只不过是两位正在进行苦修的两位圣人，但是他们并不知道 Narayana 实际上就是主本人。
So Narayana is the source of all potency, so he manifests this beautiful girls from the spiritual world, which are much more attractive and make the other girls of Cupid become totally ashamed.
那么这个 Narayana 他所展现的这，因为他是所有的力量的源泉，那所以呢，他也就是这些美丽的女子的这个展现的源泉。那么所以他当他展现了出这些来自灵性世界的这些比丘比特展现的一些姑娘们要更加美丽的这些女子们的时候呢，使得丘比特所展现的这些女子们感到非常的羞愧。
So Narayana is the Supreme Lord, and Narada is a perfect human being.
那么 Narayana 他是至尊人格守神，那么这个 Narada Rishi 呢，他是一个完美的人。
So these combined together is the absolute truth.
所以他们两人合并在一起呢，是绝对真理。
The Lord and His perfect part and partial.
也就是说，主和他完美的不可分割的部分。
So the Narayana Rishis appeared 5,000 years ago as Krishna and Arjuna.
那么所以呢 ，Nara 和 Nara Rishi 他们在5000年以前呢，是以 Krishna 和 Arjuna 展现的。
Because Narayana is none different from Krishna.
因为 Narayana 和主 Krishna 之间没有任何的区别。
And Krishna and Arjuna is a perfect human being.
而 Arjuna 呢，他也是一位完美的人。
So they are the manifestation of Nara and Narayana.
所以呢，他们就是 Nara 和 Narayana 的这个展现。
So this is, they came, as the Lord teaches us by His own example everything, so He came to teach us how to perform perfect austerities.
那么主呢，他始终都是以自己的亲身的这个榜样来教我们所有的事情的。所以说呢，他就以这对孪生兄弟的这种形象展现而来，来教我们怎么来进行苦修。
And the goal of their austerities was to forsake the attraction for the object of the senses so they can be focused on the goal of self-realization.
那么这个目的呢，就是为了要让我们能够不会去这个跌入对感官享乐的吸引之中，然后呢，让我们能够始终的非常坚定的去为主做奉献服务。
Because once we lose an attraction for enjoyment, the sense objects, naturally our concept of I and mine changes.
因为当我们失去了对这个感官享乐的这个吸引之后呢，其实我们对于我和我的这个概念也就改变了。
I am a spiritual soul. I am part and parcel of Krishna. I am His eternal servant.
那么我呢是一个灵性的灵魂，我是主 Krishna 不可分割的一部分，我是他永恒的仆人。
And this body was given to me by Krishna. Is meant for Krishna's service.
那么这个身体呢是由 Krishna 所给我的，那这个身体呢，它是为了要用作对 Krishna 的服务的。
This body with its senses is Krishna's property.
那么这个身体以及和它连在一起的这些感官呢，都是 Krishna 的财产。
This body belongs to Krishna, and the eye belongs to Krishna.
那么我的这个身体呢是属于 Krishna 的，而我自己呢也是属于 Krishna 的。
I should always engage this body in the service of Krishna.
所以呢，我应该总是把我的这个身体用作对 Krishna 的服务之中。
So we practice sadhana to achieve that.
所以呢，我们就要去练习我们的 sadhana， 从而能够真达这一点，获得这一点。
We practice devotional service to become devotees, to become always engaged in devotional service to the Lord.
那所以说我们要进行这样的练习呢，是为了让自己成为一位奉献者，让自己总是去为主，我们要让自己成为一个总是为主做服务的仆人。
That's why we engage in so many activities with our senses.
那也就是这个原因呢，使得我们会用我们的这个感官呢，去从事那么多的活动。
All for the pleasure of Krishna.
但是所有的这些活动呢，全部都是为了要让 Krishna 开心。
So this is what we should be practicing all the time: how to engage our senses, our minds in Krishna service.
对呢，这就是应该是我们恒常不断的去练习的主题，就如何把我们的感官，把我们的心意。用作对 Krishna 的服务之中。
And in this way, we become less and less victimized by Maya.
因为以这样的方式呢，我们就会越来越少的成为 Maya 的牺牲品。
Okay, we stop here.
对，我们的讲课部分呢就停。
And if there is any question or comments, we can deal now.
There are. 还有那个萨利玛吉上一周还留了一个问题，我记得。So we have one question to be left from previous week. Asati Maji will go to look for that, but from on we started from this week, the question from this week.
Oh.
Okay. The question first is from Rajendra Prabhu. 感谢讲师和翻译，异性相吸，本世界规律，真守生吸引异性，异性吸引真守生，再正常不过了。有庙宇可以保护真守生，没有庙宇的真守生如何受到保护呢？被真守生吸引的异性如何受到保护？Thank you very much for your lecture. It's very natural for the opposite sex to attract to each other. This is a very natural thing in this world. And the brahmachari attract the opposite sex, and the opposite sex also attracts the brahmachari. That is very normal. In the temple, the brahmachari can be protected. However, how the brahmachari is to be protected if there is no temple? And also how the opposite sex who are attracted by the brahmachari to be protected.
Yes, this is certainly the important consideration.
那么首先呢，这是一个非常重要的一个考虑。
So if we don't live in a temple, at least wherever we live should create such environment.
那么如果我们要是没有住在庙里面的话呢，那至少我们在我们生活的环境中呢，应该去创造出一种环境。
So it's more difficult.
那么它是更加的难的。
If you are exposed outside and say we have to be. That's why it's very important to have a good spiritual program early in the morning before confronting the day.
那比如说当我们因为我们会让自己暴露在外界，那所以就为什么就当我们清晨早起的时候呢，要一个很好的清晨的早修的课程，这样就能让我们更好的去面对一天中的生活。
Chanting all the prayers that we are supposed to chant in the morning.
那我们在清晨的时候呢，要去念诵所有应该去念诵的祷文。
Chanting our rounds.
我们要念诵我们的圈，这个 japa 的圈数。
Reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam.
我们要阅读和聆听圣典博迦瓦坛。
This should be done as much as possible early in the morning before we face the day.
所以呢，我们在清晨，在我们面对一整天的生活之前，我们要尽可能多的做完这些事情。
And then in this way, there is already a layer of protection that will be there in our consciousness.
那么当这么做了以后呢，在我们的意识知觉之中呢，就已经建立起了一个保护层。
And then during the day, be very careful to not freely mix with others and have loose talks with opposed sex. We have to control our tongue.
那所以在一天之中呢，我们一定要非常的小心，就是不要乱让自己和其他人这个搅在一起，然后和异性搅在一起。然后我们要好好的去管理好我们的舌头，控制好我们的舌头。
And as we said, the importance of eating only Krishna prasadam is very, very important to avoid being victimized by this sex attraction.
而且呢，刚才我们已经说了，就是为了要让我们尽量的去避免我们的对就是异性的这个性的这个吸引，去荣耀只是 prasadam 这件事情也是非常重要的。
So sometimes devotees complain, but we work outside and we have to go to work, so we have no time to cook our lunch.
那有的时候奉献者他可能就会去发出这样的抱怨，就是我们得在外边去上班，而且呢我的时间很紧张，我根本就没有时间去做我自己的中午的 prasadam.
Well, there are many devotees who are very careful about that, and they cook what they need to eat andThey cook in the morning what they need to eat in noon time. They bring in the tiffin, and then in the evening when they come back, they cook dinner, simple dinner. You don't need to eat very opulent. You can eat very simple with everything required.
那么有些奉献者呢，就很小心仔细的在做这件事情，就是在清晨的时候呢，他在做早餐的时候呢，就把这个午餐也一块做了出来。然后呢，拿着一个饭盒，把这个饭盒带着到单位去吃中午餐。然后晚上的时候回家以后呢，再给自己做一点简单的这个晚餐。所以说呢，我们吃饭呢不一定就是吃的都是非常丰盛的这些，拿简单的就好。
So it's important, but you have to see the importance of that. Unless you realize the importance of eating only Krishna prasadam.And avoid frivolous talks, then it will be very difficult to avoid the attraction between male and female. Be extremely difficult.
那所以呢，我们首先呢要这个意识到这件事情的重要性。那么只有我们意识到了这件事情的重要性以后呢，我们才可以会让自己真正的去荣耀 Krishna 的 prasadam， 以及呢控制住自己，不要这个非常轻佻的去讲话。如果我们要是没有意识到这一点的话呢，控制住这个性之间的这种吸引是非常非常难的一件事情。
Because even in temples, if the devotees, even though they eat prasad, but they eat too much, or they are looking for the most rich preparations, and they are very greedy after prasadam, they also have problems, and they become attracted to the opposite sex.
那么，就即便是在这个庙里面，这个奉献者他顿顿吃的都是 prasadam， 但如果他要是不控制自己，然后呢就吃的很多，而且呢会总是去吃那些非常的鲜美多汁味美的那些这个 prasadam 的话，而且吃的太多的话，他也会让自己控制不住的想要去追求异性。
嗯 ，So if you work out these things.Eat only Krishna prasadam and don't eat opulent food. Eat just simple food as much as required in quantity, and avoid frivolous talks. And have a good spiritual program in the morning. Then you can, I can guarantee that you will feel much more protected against any attraction to the opposite sex.
那么，所以如果我们要是能够注意到以下这几点，就一个呢是。这个总是吃 Krishna 的 prasadam， 还有呢就是不要吃的太丰盛的 prasadam， 只是让自己吃这个适度的简单的这个简餐，然后呢要这个控制住自己的这个说话，就是不要讲那些轻佻的语言，不要去这个然后就在清晨的时候呢要做很好的这种清晨的灵修的这个活动。那如果我们要是都能够做到这些点的话呢，我就向你保证，你一定会不那么再被异性所吸引了。
Frivolous talks are also very dangerous because eventually it can lead us to start doing fault finding and criticizing devotees.
因为就是和 Krishna 无关的那些话题，就是讲这些。乱七八糟那些话呢，其实也是非常的危险的，因为呢，它最终会导致我们会进行这个挑错，然后呢，会去批评其他的人。
And if you offend the devotees, we also very easily can be victimized by this attraction to opposite sex as opposite, yeah.
那就是You mean if we criticize the devotees?
If you criticize the devotees or make offenses to the devotees,
yeah.
Then you become also victimized by the attraction to the opposite sex.
Yeah, 就如果我们要是这个批评奉献者，然后呢，我们要冒犯了奉献者的话呢，这也会导致我们会跌入到对异性的吸引之中。
So criticizing fault finding comes through not controlling the tongue and speaking all kinds of nonsense, frivolous talks. If you talk serious things, we cannot find faults in others. You cannot. You just speak about Krishna devotional service, you speak nice about the devotees, so we don't commit that offense of offending, criticizing devotees.
那我们这个批评人，还有就是在别人身上挑错呢，他经常就来自于我们瞎讲话，我们没有去讲跟 Krishna 相关的这个话题。那如果我们要是只是讲述这个跟 Krishna 相关的这个话题呢，就能够更好的让我们避免不去在别人身上挑错，不会去批评别人。
Okay, next question.
The next question is still from Rajendra Prabhu. 年长的奉献者偷偷地告诉我，伊士康的大部分年轻居士偶尔也会过夫妻生活，自然的事情，只要继续做服务就好。而最近一位想要启迪的奉献者询问我说，他被告知如果继续过夫妻生活是不能够被启迪的。他询问为什么对新人那么严格，对已经启迪的居士偶尔过夫妻生活却没有限制。我的问题焦点就是如何向新人奉献者传教这一原则，又能Some of the senior experienced devotees, they confidentially revealed to me that many of the young grihasthas in ISKCON, they also occasionally to have to see sex life in their life. So this is a very natural thing. As long as they continue their service, will be fine.However, recently, there is a devotee who is thinking about to get initiation, consult me one thing. He told me that if continue with the couple life, I mean the sex life in the Grihastha ashram, will, so he is not able to get initiation. So his question is that, so why is so strict to the newcomers? However, there is no restrictions for those devotee couples. Why is still okay for them to have the occasional sex life? So the point of my question is that how to preach this principle to the newcomers, and at the same time also can inspire them.
It's not okay for an initiated couple to have occasional illicit sex. It's not okay.
对，就是已经就是在修行的这些这个居士们偶尔过心。
Initiated devotees to have.
Yeah. Give me a little while to structure the sentence. 就是对于这些这个启迪的奉献者，偶尔过夫妻生活这件事儿是不行的。
Yeah, illicit sex is illicit sex.
就是这种不合规矩的这种性生活，它就是不合规矩的。
Sex are there for procreation.
因为我们的这个性生活，它过的目的呢，是为了要生孩子。
That's how all species of life use the genitals. It's for procreation.
那么所有的这些生命的形式，他们用他们的生殖器官的目的都是为了要去生孩子。
So, even animals are more controlled than most human beings.
那么即便是动物，很多动物都比人要控制这件事情控制得更好。
No, it's improper to have illicit sex even with one's wife.
所以说呢，就是和这个妻子去过这些非法的这个性生活是不恰当的。
It's based on the wrong principle. I am this body, so my body is, I have to enjoy my body, and this, the body of my wife is mine, so it's meant for my enjoyment. So it's based on a wrong conception. I and mine, we don't think as I as a servant of the Lord. My body meant for the service of the Lord, and my wife is a servant of the Lord, meant for the pleasure of the Lord.
那么首先呢，他做这件事情的这种目的呢，他是基于在一个不正确的一个概念下的。那么这个概念呢，就是我这个躯体是我的，那我呢就要去享受我的这个躯体，而我妻子的这个躯体呢。 因为我的妻子是我的，所以我妻子的这个躯体呢也是归我来享受的，所以他也在这样的一种错误的这种概念下呢，就会去做这个性生活的一件事情。但是这个正确的概念应该是什么呢？就是我是 Krishna 的，我的这个身体也是Krishna 的，我的妻子也是 Krishna 的，我们都是Krishna 的仆人。我们要做的事情呢，都是为了让 Krishna 开心高兴，所以才会去做。So.
If they have a strong spiritual program together, and they are engage their senses in the service of the Lord and they chant the holy names, hear the Bhagavatam, then they can be protected from that. Otherwise, they should not start to justify that it is normal to do that, because it is not normal to do that.
所以说，如果是这夫妻双方，他们两个人能够在一起很好的去进行灵性上的这个修习，可以很好的去阅读圣典博伽瓦坛，可以去讲述 Krishna 的话题，可以一起服务 Krishna 的话，那么他们就能够更好的保护自己，不会去做这件事情。因为就是他们在一起去做这个性的这个生活呢，它其实并不是一个正常的一个现象，并不是一个正常的事儿。
They should start by checking if they are really controlling their tongue.
那所以呢，他们应该首先要检查的是自己是不是真正的控制好了自己的舌头。
Otherwise, certainly, if they don't control their tongue, they're going to be victimized by sex life.
如果他们要是没有很好的去控制自己的舌头的话，那么他们就会成为这个性生活的牺牲品。
And they're going to justify that, saying that is normal.
而且呢，还会说这件事就是一个正常现象。
It's not normal.
这并不是一个正常现象，并不是自然现象。
Sex life, illicit sex life is for the sex of the cats and dogs.
那我们的这种就是恣意的性生活，它是为猫和狗准备的。
human form of life is meant for self-realization, not for sense gratification.
那么人类生命的形式呢，它为的是为了让自己得到自我觉悟，并不是为了得到感官上的享乐。
Yes, it may happen that the devotees fall prey of that, but they should not justify that, saying that it is normal. They should feel bad about that, and they should try to adjust things and take the measures necessary to rectify that tendency, not to justify.
那作为一对奉献者，也许可能他们会去偶尔的过一些这个性生活，但是呢，他不能够就是非常自然的认为啊，这是一个非常正常的、非常自然的事情，而应该为做了这件事情而感到内疚，然后呢，会去做一些这个调整的这个事情，然后呢，把这个状态给调整过来，而不会就想的就不会就会非常正常的认为哦，这件事就是对的。
Yes, there may be many couples who fall prey to this illicit sex, but there are also many couples who don't fall prey to illicit sex.
但也许可能有些夫妻呢，他们还会去过一些这样的这个非法的性生活，但是也有很多的这些奉献者夫妻们，他们是很好的保持着这个原则的。
So it depends how serious you practice devotional service.
所以呢，这个全部都取决于您是多么的认真的在进行奉献服务的练习。
If you justify that is normal, it's almost like committing the seven offense where you commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name.
那如果要是您就认为这么做是非常正常的，没什么问题的话，那这其实就跟我们这个就是唱诵圣名十诫，就是冒犯十诫里面的这第七诫一样，就是急着圣名行恶。
对 thinking that by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be okay.
那么就觉得我们如果只要是念诵了 Hare Krishna 的圣名，然后其他一切都万事大吉了。
Because it's normal to do these things.
因为呢，就是正常，这些都是非常正常的事儿。
It's very dangerous to your spiritual practice.
因为这个对于我们的灵性的这个修习来说呢，是非常的危险的。
If you are serious and if you ever fall down, then think about how serious it is and try to rectify, beginning by checking if you are controlling the tongue properly.
所以，如果我们要是非常的这个认真的话呢？如果我们要是犯了错误摔了下来的话，我们就应该好好检醒一下我们的这个错误，然后呢更正我们的这个错误，然后呢从检视我们是不是很好的控制了我们的舌头开始。
So it's wrong.
It's what?
It's wrong. To do illicit sex is wrong.
对对对，所以说呢就是错的，就是这个夫妻之间的非正当的这个性生活是错的。
It's one of the principles that you accept to follow when you receive initiation.
那么所以这个其实是违反了在这个接受启迪的时候所发下的这个要遵守的规范原则的誓言的。
No illicit sex.
因为这其中的一个誓言呢，就是不过非法的性生活。
He didn't say that illicit sex only with other women. Illicit sex is illicit sex means sex that is not meant for procreation.
那么其实就这个呢，更像的是这个非正当的这种性生活。这个非正当性生活，它并不仅仅的是和其他女子之间的那种性生活叫非正当的性生活。这个非正当性生活也就意味着是不是因为要繁衍后代而进行的性生活。
So if you are not able to do that, you think it's very difficult, then don't be initiated. Wait.
那如果要是您要是控制不了这件事情，您觉得这件事很难的话呢，那就等着不要被启迪。
Because if you get initiated and you promise, then you're gonna disobey your spiritual master. It's also one of the offenses.
那么所以因为如果要是您一方面又解决不了这个问题，然后另一方面又得到了这个启迪，但是在启迪的时候呢你又发下了誓言，可是那就等于其实您是这个打破了这个誓言，也就是说没有去遵守灵性导师的这个训谕，那么这也是一个冒犯。
Yeah, try to do your best, try to chant Hare Krishna regularly, read Srimad Bhagavatam and see how much you can control your tongue, and then when you are really sure that you can control that tenderness for illicit sex, then you can approach a spiritual master for initiation, not before.
那所以说呢，就我们就自己仔细的去念诵，然后认真的去阅读圣典博加瓦坛，然后呢，很好的去控制自己的舌头。那么当我们真正的觉得我们可以去控制住这些事情的时候呢，我们这会儿再去找灵性导师去跟他要启迪，否则的话呢，在这之前呢就不要启迪。
Receive initiation is not a fashion.
因为接受启迪这并不是一个时尚的事儿。
嗯，是 serious. It's very serious thing.
这是一个非常非常的严肃的事情。
Okay, next question.
The next question is from Rajendra Prabhu. 博迦梵歌第二章第四十七十节中说，附定的职责可以分为三类：常规的活动、紧急的活动以及欲求的活动。书上写了常规的活动，不懂什么是紧急的活动和欲求的活动，请上师开示。So in the Bhagavad Gita 2.47, it is said that for the prescribed duties there are three types. They have the regulative. Please help me to find the verse. It is said that there was the normal activities, the emergency activities, and also the desired activities. So in the book, it explained what is the normal, regularly activities. But I don't know what is the emergency activities and the desired activities. Could you explain?
Desired activities mean that a certain activity that you prefer to do in your devotional service, something that you have a preference.
那么欲求的这个活动呢，表示的是就是在这个奉献服务的这个过程中呢，就是你有一些你特别特别想从事的活动，就是你有一些这个喜欢做的事儿。
And urgent, what is that? Urgent activity is sometimes things that we have to do even though we are not supposed to do at that particular time, but because there is a requirement, there is a need, you have to do it. So it's an emergency.
那么这个紧急的活动呢，也就意味着是，就在那一个时刻，我们必须要去处理的这个事情。那么也许可能，不是就在那个时候应该做的事儿，但是呢，你必须得做，否则不做这件事情的话呢，就在那个时候就不行，所以呢，就必须在那个时候处理，这叫紧急的活动。
And then that regulate activities that we are given by the spiritual master that we have to do all the time.
那么这个常规的活动呢，也就是灵性导师所要求我们做的这个我们必须时常都要做的事情。
Concerning the problem between couples that have difficulty in controlling this attraction for sex life, there is also something that can be done. The Matajis, the ladies, should be very careful how they dress, even at home.
Okay, 对，阿叔的又这个重新又补了一点刚才上面那个Rajendra Prabhu所问的问题，就是关于这个夫妻之间如何能够帮助彼此控制住自己的感官，而不去做这个，就不去有这个不适当的这个性生活的，这怎么弄呢？就是这个家里的这个 Mataji 一定要非常的小心自己的着装，即便是在家里面穿衣服也一定要小心。
They should be very careful because their form is very attractive to the male form. So if they expose their female form, either because of lust or because inattention, they can create a problem that the men become attracted and then they become all victimized. So they have to be very careful how to dress. The male and the man and the girl, they should dress very properly even at home.
那么在家里面，无论是这个妻子和丈夫双方呢，都应该非常仔细自己的着装，因为女子的这个身体呢，它对于男人来说呢，是非常的具有吸引力的。所以如果要是出于这个色欲的考虑，或者是不就是没有留神没注意的这种考虑而让自己的这个穿着不合适了的话， 那么就有可能会激起男人的这种兴趣，然后导致了双方都会跌入到这个Maya 的这个陷阱里面，这个牺牲里面。所以说呢，双方一定要都非常的小心。
And they have to be very careful, of course, when they are gathering with other devotees, they should dress very properly.
那当然了，就是当他们和其他的奉献者在一起的时候，这个穿着也是要非常的得体的。
This is a way of Mataji showing compassion for the brahmacharis to be careful and dress very nicely, and brahmachari should always treat the Mataji as mothers.
那么这个Mataji们在特别是在这个 brahmachari 的面前的穿着打扮也展现了 Mataji 对 brahmachari 的怜悯之心。那么这个 brahmachari 呢也要时刻的小心，永远都要把 Mataji 们给视作是母亲。
OK, next question.
The next question is from Sati Mataji Dinban Ashu. 有新人问，夏天到了，奉献者在日常生活中是否可以穿超短裙、背心这些流行的衣服，而只是在联谊的时候只穿些正规的一些的长裙。This is question related to what you said just now. Please accept my very humble presences. The new people asked that because summer is coming, it's very hot. So for devotees, if it's okay for them to wear some mini skirt or some vest or whatever the fashion stuff of today in our daily life, but only wear the long skirt and also the Vaishnava's outfit in the association programs.
Yeah, this is very important. You have to dress properly. You should not expose your body and create a sexual attraction. It's very dangerous. It's very cruel to do that.
那么这是非常非常重要的一件事情，就是我们穿这个衣服是要非常的小心的，我们一定要让把自己的这个身体包好，然后呢不要这个在别人面前展现我们的这个性的这个吸引的这些方面那么这个呢是非常的危险的，而且这么做呢也是非常残忍的。
Not even during programs or even outside. The devotee should not dress in indecent ways just because it's a fashion. They should not expose their bodies to others.
那么即便不仅仅是在联谊的时候是这样，那么在任何一个时候，这个奉献者都不能够因为我要追求一种时尚而让自己穿得很不得体。那么这个我们不应该把我们的这个身体展现在其他人面前。
It's indecent.
所以这是不合适的，不庄重的。
Next question.
The next question. This question is from previous week. This one, this particular one from 大兰 Mataji. 顶拜亲爱的阿叔，人格性意味着有自己的个性和感情，有自己的喜怒哀乐。但我们现在还没有觉悟到 Krishna 的人格性。只有在 Krishna 的逍遥时光里去聆听，那是不是我们这种非人格性的状态的 sadhana 休息也是正常的呢？感恩您的精彩讲解，谢谢达拉玛特吉。Please accept my very very humble obeisances to you, dear Ashu. The personalized means that the person has his or her individualized characters and affections. It has his own way to express all kinds of emotions. However, at this point, on our current level, we didn't realize the personal feature of Lord Krishna. So we only learned this from the pastimes of the Lord. So for now, our impersonalist sadhana, because our sadhana right now is in a kind of an impersonalist state, is this normal? Thank you very much for your lecture. Do you understand? I mean,
it is not normal.
那么首先呢，就这种非人格性的状态的 sadhana 练习是不正常的。
Krishna is a person.
那么 Krishna 是一个人。
He has his likings and dislikings.
那么 Krishna 有他自己的喜好。
He has his preferences.
那么他有他自己的这个偏好。
So while serving the Lord, we have to be careful with that.
那么所以当我们在服务主 Krishna 的时候呢，我们要对此非常的小心。
That's why, for instance, in deity worship, there are so many rules and regulations how we deal, how to do the deity worship, because that we have to be careful about things that Krishna likes and Krishna does not like.
所以说为什么我们在这个服务崇拜神像的时候呢，就有很多的这个规范和原则需要去遵守。那么去遵守这些规范原则呢，也就是意味着让我们非常的小心，我们在崇拜 Krishna 的时候是要按照 Krishna 所喜欢的那种方式去做，而不是按照他不喜欢的方式去做。
Yeah, we have to be always, yes, we have not realized the personal form of the Lord yet, but we know that he is a person and he has personal dealings with others and he has his personal nature and his likings and dislikings and you should be aware of that.
那么首先呢，我们现在的确还没有意识到 Krishna 的人格性，但是我们从道理上知道 Krishna 他是人，而且呢他和人就是他是一个人格的，而且呢他和这个人呢都有各种各样不同的这种交流和互动，而且呢 Krishna 有他自己的喜好，有他自己不喜欢的这些东西，那也就意味着当我们再去服务他的时候呢，我们要注意着他到底有什么喜欢的和不喜欢的东西。
嗯，Okay, next question.
Yeah, the next question, again, we come back for this week. The next question from Sumukhi Radha Mataji, Dimbai Ashu, 和 Mataji 转发提问，听说 Krishna 娶了那么多媳妇儿，他们也相互的嫉妒，这和我们的嫉妒有何不同？我非常嫉妒我的一位瑜伽老师，但是又分不开，这可怎么办呢？Ashu, this is a question from, she actually, on behalf of others, they asked this question. The question is that I heard that Krishna has married many, many wives. And also the wives, they are kind of showing the jealousy to each other. What are the differences between their jealousy with the jealousies from us? So, for example, right now, I really envy one of my yoga teacher, but I cannot be parted from her. So what to do?
No, that jealousy showed by the queens, it's spiritual. It's all based on how to please Krishna better and better.
所以呢，就是在这些王后们他们之间所展现出来的这种嫉妒呢，实际上都是灵性的。他们这么嫉妒的原因呢，是为了要想着怎么能够更越来越好的去服务 Krishna.
Whereas our material envy is very selfish.
但是我们的物质的这种嫉妒呢，是非常的自私的。
It's about ourselves.
因为这个呢，是基于我们自己的。
What we like, what we don't like, and what the other should give me or should not give me.
那比如说呢，我喜欢什么呀，我不喜欢什么呀，然后其他人该给我什么呀，不该给我什么呀。
Whereas in relation to Krishna, is meant to improve their service to Krishna, so Krishna will be happier.
那么，所以我们跟 Krishna 之间的这种关系呢，它的意味着就是能够更好的去提升这个服务，那从而呢，使 Krishna 能够变得更加的开心。
It looks the same, like iron and gold looks the same, but it look like two metals.
Sorry?
It looks the same. They look like the same. This material envy or spiritual envy looks like the same externally, like gold and iron. They look the same. They're like two metals.
Okay. 那么就这个灵性的这个嫉妒啊，跟这个物质的嫉妒呢，看起来好像是一样的，都是嫉妒。那么就好像是这个两个金属，一个是金子，那么另外是一块铁，但它们虽然都是金属，但它们是不一样的金属。
You can polish iron can become very shining, but it's never like, will never be like gold.
那比如说呢，我们可以去好好的去擦拭这块铁，然后这块铁呢就可以变得发亮，但是呢这块铁它永远都变不成金子。
So yes, now our envy, yeah, certainly very selfish based on our our selfish interest.
啊，那么但是我们现在目前所拥有的这种物质上的嫉妒呢，是非常的自私的，因为它展现出来的是我们自我的一些兴趣利。
Are we personally affected?
啊，也就是说呢，我们自己本人是怎么个在这里面被影响了？
嗯。Okay, next question.
Yeah, the next question from Sumuti Radha Mataji. Again, she asks a question for others. 亲爱的老师，您好，我家狗狗去世了，心里特别的难受。请问瓦坛中有没有人讲该如何善待动物吗？人如何能够救赎自己的宠物出苦海呢？我把它给火化了。请问骨灰埋在拖拉洗树苗的盆土中好吗？这样对这只狗狗有益吗？Hare Krishna. Dear teacher, Hare Krishna, my dog just passed away and I feel very sad about that. So my question is that if in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are any teachings about how to treat the animals nicely and also what the human being can do to help the pet to liberate it from the misery, the ocean of the misery. So I cremated the dog. So it's okay for me to bury the ashes of the dog in the pot of the tulasi devi. So if I did that, it was beneficiary to the dog.
No, that's not proper.
OK, 把这个骨灰狗的骨灰给放在托拉西的这个树苗里面是不合适的。
Not even a human being's ashes we put in Tulasi Devi.
那么就即便是人类的这个骨灰呢，我们也不会把它埋在托拉西 Devi 的这个土里面。
That's very offensive to Tulasi Devi.
因为这个对于托拉西 Devi 来说呢，是非常的冒犯的一件事情。
Yes, we should treat nicely and all other creatures.
那么当然了，我们应该很好的去对待所有的生物灵。
Because they are spiritual souls in different bodies, but they are all spiritual souls, parts and parcels of Krishna.
因为呢，这些都是处于不同躯体的灵性的灵魂。那么大家都是灵性的灵魂，也都是 Krishna 不可分割的一部分。
And the best way to help them is to give them Krishna prasadam and let them hear the holy names.
那么最好的。去对待他们的办法呢，就是让他们去听圣名，以及呢，让他们去荣耀 Krishna 的 prasadam。
Certainly, we should treat them nicely with nice care, but there are certain forms of living entities that we should not associate with because it's not proper either because they are not clean, they can create disturbance to our health.
那么。当然了，我们对于这个其他的这个生物体呢，是应该是具有善心的。但是呢，和他们一起居住是不恰当的。原因是因为他们，比如说不干净啊，然后呢，可能会对我们的这个身体呢也是不太好的。
The cats and dogs' habits are not clean for a human being, and they can attract parasites that do not affect them, but can affect human beings' health.
比如说呢，这个动物和就是这个猫和狗，它们的这个生活习性呢，并不是非常洁净的生活习性，而且呢，它们还会有一种，就是它们会有这个，招来这种虫子。那么这种虫子呢，对于它们来说是没有影响的，但是对人类的这个健康是有影响的。
So their cleanliness, because they don't have the same standards of cleanliness as human beings, so they can affect the health of a human being. So should be careful of it.Of intimately associating with other species of life.
那么所以说，就是由于他们的这个洁净的这个标准跟人类的这个洁净的标准是不一样的，所以说呢，就有可能会影响人类的这个身体的健康。所以说呢，当我们在和其他的这个动物进行亲密的接触的时候呢，要小心。
So yes, we can help them by giving them prasad and chanting the holy names. Yes, we can do that.
但是呢，我们可以做的事情呢，就是给他们 prasad 还有念诵圣名。
Okay, next question.
The next question from Radha Nanda Mataji. Hare Krishna, 深深的顶拜敬爱的阿叔，请问任何时候只要想着 Krishna, 不忘 Krishna, 随时呼唤 Krishna, 就会受到物质世界里太多的人事情的影响，就不会受到物质世界里太多的人事物的影响，对吗？修习 奉纳瑜伽到底要不要做苦行呢？ Hare Krishna, please accept my very honorable relationship to you. So my question is that in any time, any moment, we need to think of Krishna, and we never forget about him, and we're always calling out the name of the Lord of Krishna. In that case, we won't be affected by many of the people and the issues in this material world. Is that right? And also, in our practice in the Bhakti Yoga, do we really need to go through those austerities?
Yes, we need to go through the austerities.
是的，我们应该去，我们需要去进行苦修。
Austerities means to engage our senses in Krishna's service.
那么我们的这个苦修也就意味着是把我们的这个感官用作对 Krishna 的服务之中。
Actually, it's a type of austerity that gives us the utmost pleasure.
那么事实上呢，就是其实就是这样的这种苦修呢，是给我们最大的快乐的一种苦修。
Austerities are meant to bring about higher happiness.
那么这个苦修它也就意味着是要带来更高的快乐。
So if you use your senses for sense gratification, certainly that's, you cannot remember Krishna and think of Krishna all the time.
那当然，如果你要是用你的感官去进行感官享乐的活动的话，那就不可能永远都一直在想着 Krishna， 不忘记他。
So it goes together, chanting the holy names, engaging the senses in Krishna's service. This is goes all together to help us to always remember Krishna, never forget him.
所以说呢，这个念诵圣名以及把我们的感官总是致力在对 Krishna 的服务之中，他们是连在一起的。因为只有在这样做的这种情况下呢，才能够帮助我们永远都想着 Krishna， 永远不会忘记他。
So we follow many rules, many things we should do means.Those rules are meant to help us to always remember Krishna.
那么所以说呢，我们就会这个进行很多的这种规范的这种修习。那么所有的这些规范呢，那全部都是帮助我们能够总是想着 Krishna.
And we follow many regulations, many things we should do not do. These are meant to help us to all never forget Krishna.
而且呢，我们还会就是我们有原则，我们有规范。那么所有这些规范呢，就是要让我们。不要去做某些事情，因为就是我们不去做这些事情的时候呢，也会让我们永远都不要忘记 Krishna。
So do's and don'ts. Do's are meant to help us to always remember Krishna, and don'ts are all they are all meant to help us to always never forget him.
嗯，那么所以说呢，我们就会有一些要做的事情以及不做的事情。那我们去做这些事情的时候呢，就会帮助我们永远都不会忘记 Krishna。而我们去做那些不做的事情呢，也会帮助我们永远都不会忘记它。
So do's and don'ts are our austerities.
那么所以呢，我们去做那些要做的事情，以及不去做那些不做的事情，都是我们要经历的苦行。
Because sometimes we would prefer to do something different, and sometimes we would prefer to not do something that we like to do.
因为有的时候呢，我们可能就会想去做一些不想做，就是一些不同的事情。而有的时候呢，我们也不喜欢去，不做那些不让我们做的事儿。
So human life is meant for to be disciplined.
那所以呢，人类的这个生活呢，它本来就是需要有纪律的。
Then you will be in the right condition to be always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him.
然后呢，我们就会处在一个非常正确的一种状态下。而这种状态呢，就会让我们总是想着 Krishna， 而永远都不会忘记他。
Next question.
The next question is from Hare Krishna. 老师您好，夫妻同修可以，如果不是同修，那么对方对你有意见，那家庭能和睦吗？自己单修，你吃素啊，单独做饭，那个不算影响人家对方，但不跟人家过夫妻生活，人家会不干的，慢慢就会离婚的。Hare Krishna, Prabhu, for the devotee couples, it's okay for them to do the practice together. However, if they are not on the same path, then the spouse who are not the devotee will show in some disagreement with you. So in that case, to make the family cannot be maintained in a harmony situation. See, if I practice just for myself, it's okay to have the veggie meal And also it's okay to only make my meal for myself. The others won't really say much about that. However, if you don't have the sex life with the spouse, they will have a big disagreement about that, and gradually they will meet the divorce. That is not right.
Yeah, that's not right, and can happen.
对，这样事情这确实是不太好，而且呢也可能会发生。
But it also happens amongst people who are not spiritualists, they get divorced.
但是呢，在没有灵性生活的这些夫妻们之间，他们也会离婚。
Because once we engage in illicit sense gratification, then eventually we lose respect for each other.
因为就是当我们一直在不断地做这个非正当的这种性生活的活动的时候呢，慢慢的彼此双方就失去了对彼此的尊重。
So if you cannot avoid this in the beginning, yes, you continue doing your practice as best as you can, and which you chant Hare Krishna, and then you pray the Lord to help you to somehow convince your husband, to make him understand the purpose of life. And sometimes, and we have seen many, many cases where it happened, and the husband or the other person became gradually attracted to Krishna consciousness and also able to follow this regulative principle.
那么所以说呢，在最开始的时候，如果要是这个问题要是解决不了的话呢，那你就可以一边竭尽所能的去做您可以做到的这些修习，然后另外一方面呢，一边在这个满足对方的这个需求的同时，一边去这个向 Krishna 祈祷，然后祈祷主能够帮助您使就是您的这个配偶，无论是妻子还是丈夫。 能够慢慢的明白这个生命的目的到底是什么，所以呢，就是这样的事情会发生的，是逐渐的、慢慢的就会让对方丈夫或者妻子也开始慢慢的念诵了，也开始慢慢的就是变成了奉献者。The
fact is that you have understood that you are a spiritual soul and you are meant to please Krishna. This is very important.
那么这里面有一个非常重要的一件事情呢，就是说你要明白的一件事情就是你是一个灵性的灵魂，而且您生活的目的呢，就是为了要去取悦 Krishna， 让他开心，这很重要。
And you should try to do your best to make sure that you perform everything very well.
而且呢，你也要这个竭尽所能的让自己很好的去做自己能做的这些事情。
So you have to see what is most important in your life.
那所以说，您可以看到，在您的生命中，什么是最重要的？
It's your spiritual progress or your material life.
那么，到底是你的物质生活更重要呢，还是你的灵性的进步更加重要？
In the beginning, certainly, there is a lot of concern about your family life, your material life, because you are still very much affected by that.
那么因为在最开始的时候呢，肯定你会更加的担心你的这个家庭生活呀，你的物质的生活呀，因为这会儿你还是非常的被这个事情所影响的。And
if you can keep your family together, your material life together at the same time, have a good spiritual practice, this is ideal.
那当然，如果你要是一边能够有很好的灵性的休息，另外一边呢又能很好的就是照顾家庭，平衡家庭的生活的话呢，那这个是很好的状态。So
you should try for that.
那当然，这个是您要努力的方向。But
we should not destroy your own spiritual life because of trying to save something that is temporary.
但是呢，我们不能够因为要去保护一些临时的事情，而就是拿我们的这个灵性上的这个追求去作为代价。
We would not take something that is good, knowing that it's going to affect our lives and even maybe create our death.
所以呢，我们不可能就是都知道了，就是这个事情会使我们走向死亡，我们还把它当成一个好东西一样留着。
So we have to be very careful.
所以呢，我们要非常的小心。
So you practice as best as you can and pray for the benefit of others and hope that they they eventually can understand what you're doing and at least respect what you're doing.
那所以说呢，就是你呢就是竭尽全力的去先修行自己的，然后呢去，然后也同时呢去照顾好其他，就是这个家庭，然后呢向他们去祈祷，然后慢慢的呢希望他们能够明白你自己在做什么。
The last question.
The last question, 来自于韦月苗玛特吉。顶班阿叔在不懂的情况下直接供奉的 Krishna 的照片如何撤回和更正最合适呢？直接供奉的 Krishna 的照片如何撤回？哦，沙利玛姐，我不懂什么意思。
是，我也不太懂，我在问他，等他看他怎么回复。
Can I translate?
Okay, so we keep for, she can send it better way and we keep it for next week.
Yeah, 沙利玛姐这样啊，因为今天这个时间，所以说呢，阿叔说呢，再请问一下这个韦玛特吉，然后把他再重新再写一下这个问题，然后我们下一周的时候再请阿叔回答。
Okay, thank you very much for your questions.
Okay, 那非常非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank everybody out there who listen.
那么非常感谢在这里聆听的所有的奉献者们。
A special thank you to Danakeli and Sati Mataji for allowing us to be together.
然后也特别的感谢萨顶玛特吉还有丹娜佩里能够允许我们今天能够聚集在这里。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari 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 Bo.
Ashu ki jai. 外观大之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，那我们今天的导课呢就到此结束了。非常非常感谢 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 阿叔为我们的精彩讲述和对所有的问题的耐心的解答。也感恩所有的奉献者的聆听和提出这么好的问题，谢谢萨顶玛特吉给我们安排的这个平台。那祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个美妙的周日。 Hare Krishna。